First reading is from Jeremiah's letter to the Jews of Babylonia, reading verses 1 and then verses 4 to 14. I wrote a letter to the priests, the prophets, the leaders of the people, and to all the others whom Nebuchadnezzar has taken away as prisoners from Jerusalem to Babylonia. The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those people whom he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to take away as prisoners from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what you grow in them. Marry and have children. Then let your children get married so that they also may have children. You must increase in numbers and not decrease. Work for the good of the cities where I have made you go as prisoners. Pray to me on their behalf, because if they are prosperous, you will be prosperous too. I, the Lord God of Israel, warn you not to let yourselves be deceived by the prophets who live among you, or by any others who claim they can predict the future. Do not pay any attention to these, to their dreams. They are telling you lies in my name. I did not send them. I, the Lord Almighty, have spoken. The Lord says, when Babylonia's 70 years are over, I will show my concern for you and keep my promise to bring you back home. I alone know the plans I have for you, plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster, plans to bring about the future you hope for. Then you will call to me. You will come and pray to me, and I will answer you. You will seek me, and you will find me, because you will seek me with all your hearts. Yes, I say, you will find me, and I will restore you to your land. I will gather you from every country and from every place to which I have scattered you, and I will bring you back to the land from which I had sent you away into exile. I, the Lord, have spoken.
You pop up the house, Tom, please. Jeremiah talks very much there about making yourself at home, making as creation. There's my dragonfly. They're the acorns. Yeah, next one. Thanks. Yeah. And I wonder where your home is. What do you think of home? Anybody like to tell me where home is for them? I came from Yorkshire to live near London, and for a long, long time, Yorkshire was my home, and I couldn't get that out of my head. But now I consider I'm a real Londoner. London is my home. So for me, home's changed. Anybody like to say where they feel home is for them? Where your family is, yeah. So that would be here.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. There we go. Anybody else feel they have a home? Anywhere that's not here? You were away a long time, weren't you? I was thinking, did you feel at home when you were away?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yeah, yeah, yes, yes, at home there. So actually you can have more than one home in a sense, can't you? And often it's down to being at home, making yourself at home. And this is where, anybody know this? I went there last week. I'm sure you've been there. Middleton House? It's just round the corner. Middleton House in Lee Valley Park. And I went there last week. I've been before, but I had a little tour last week and I learnt a lot more about E.A. Bowles, who lived in the house. I found out his name was actually Edward Augustus Bowles, which is where the E.A. came from, and I'd often wondered about that. But I was interested in his history and the fact that he made this his home. It was his home in a sense because he was born there, but he went away to Cambridge to do his degree and his master's. And he was about to go away again to train as an Anglican vicar when a brother and a sister died of typhoid. And so he came back to his parents' home and made it his home. And he developed that wonderful garden that's there now. But in his long life there, I discovered he was a gardener, a collector, an artist, an author, a plantsman, a fundraiser, and a pastor. And he developed all those links, as it were, to this house and to this community. He took over the garden because he was interested in collecting plants, and he had to plead with his parents to let him look after that garden. And he went to the Alps every year to collect plants and to put them in the garden to see if they would grow here in Enfield. And so he worked out lots of ways of trying to get his plants to grow. And he painted pictures of them, and he wrote books about them and about the garden, how it changes seasonally. And he linked himself to the community through the church. He ran a boys' club, and he used to have the boys come to the garden and help him look after it. And he held an annual fete, which apparently was a huge attraction in the local area. Everybody would dress up for it, and the money raised would go to the church. So he really filled his life, and it really, for me, got me reflecting about making yourself at home. A little bit like you said, wherever you are, he really made the effort. Because he needed to stay here initially to be with his parents, he made the effort to make it his lifelong home. And he's actually left a tremendous legacy for us as well.
Our New Testament reading is from Paul's letter to Titus, Chapter 3, verses 3 to 8, on Christian conduct. Remind your people to submit to rulers and authorities, to obey them, and to be ready to do good in everything. Tell them not to speak evil of anyone, but to be peaceful and friendly, and always to show a gentle attitude towards everyone. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, and wrong. We were slaves to passions and pleasures of all kinds. We spent our lives in malice and envy. Others hated us, and we hated them. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour was revealed, he saved us. It was not because of any good deeds that we ourselves had done, but because of his own mercy that he saved us through the Holy Spirit, who gives us new birth and new life by washing us. God poured out the Holy Spirit abundantly on us through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, so that by his grace we might be put right with God and come into possession of the eternal life we hope for. This is a true saying.
Where is home then? Tom, can we have the picture with the flower on it? It'll be, I think it's the fourth one in the PowerPoint. It
Yeah, thank you. Home. Well, home for that flower is on the rock, little rocky edge that it's found and made its home there. So I thought we'd have that picture up while we think a little bit more about home. Where is home? Well, we might all have different ideas of home, but essentially we are all at home on planet Earth. Nowadays, people do move around a lot on planet Earth, and some are forced to move around. Millions of people now have to move because of the effects of climate change. Maybe they can't farm the land any longer where they live. Maybe the land is just too difficult to place houses or dwellings on. Or maybe the environment has just got too difficult and they're forced to move. In Jeremiah, we heard about people that had been forced to move, not for environmental changes, but because of conflict. And of course, people nowadays are often forced to move and make home elsewhere because of conflict. And the people that Jeremiah is writing to have been sent into exile in Babylon, forced to move to a foreign land where everything was unfamiliar. And not surprisingly, they just wanted to go back home, back where they came from, the place they considered home. But God, through Jeremiah, said, "This is now your home. Work at it. Put your roots down. Live for today." God, as we heard in Jeremiah, did intend for them to return, but not for a long time. He didn't want them wasting time where they were in Babylon. He wanted them to make it their home. Wasting time was and is not a part of God's plan for anyone. We need to make the best of where we are, where our home is, right now. And so let's look at the four specific things that God told the exiles to do. And these start in verse 5. God said, through Jeremiah, of course, "Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what you grow in them." In the Bible, people are closely connected to the land. And the New Testament Greek word for home had the root oikos, which means ecology and economy. Through ecology, we find a way to interact with our natural environment. And through doing so, we learn more about God. If we don't connect with nature, we risk losing our connection with God. If we become a part of nature, then we grow in our relationship with God. Just a little bit like that acorn that grows into a mighty oak. Becoming a part of nature and God's world helps us to grow too. And growing things is a great way to grow in our relationship with God. Even in a flat without a garden, you can grow things. We all need to be rooted ecologically in our planet Earth, and then our lives actually improve economically too, we achieve a better balance. And that's what God intended for the exiles in Babylon. And so the second specific thing he told them to do was in verse 6. Marry and have children. Then let your children get married so that they also may have children. God wanted them to build a thriving community. In the Bible, family and community are very important for the well-being of individuals. Everyone helps to care for everyone else. In church too, we build community. We care for each other, and we welcome newcomers to our community. As a church too, we build bridges into the communities around us. And God wants us to strengthen those links so that our church makes its home in our community. That way, God can work through us to reach others. And the third thing God told us to do comes in verse 7a. And this is what Jeremiah told the exiles. Work for the good of the cities where I have made you go as prisoners. Work for the good of Babylon, he said. God wanted the exiles to work for the political success of their new communities, to promote peace and justice, even though the government of the land was in others' hands. He said the exiles would prosper if they lived peaceably alongside the Babylonians, if they kept the law and paid their taxes as good citizens. And we are expected to do that too. In a sense, we are helping to build God's kingdom when we keep to the law and pay our taxes, even if we don't agree with the government in power or the mayor that's in position at the time. God wants us to be politically astute and to fit in with the government of the time. And in verse 7b, he says, pray to me on their behalf, the behalf of those who govern Babylon, because if they are prosperous, you will be prosperous too. God said that the exiles must pray for their new home. It required not only an ecological and an economical and a political investment, it required a spiritual investment too. They were to promote shalom, harmony, the harmony of God within community. And that's just as important for us too, wherever we are, to pray for our home, to pray for our church and community, and to pray for our environment, the natural environment in which we are placed in our home. Just like those exiles in Babylon, God calls us to belong, to make a home wherever we are. And in doing so, to develop a love for community, for family, and for environment, for his creation. And through that love for his creation, a sense of caring and stewardship, an interdependence with nature, that causes us to fight to conserve our church and our community and our environment whenever it's put at risk. And so the challenge, I think, for us is to make sure that we do make ourselves at home wherever we are. And wherever we are, we bring God into that home. Amen.